Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to Matthew, the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew this evening. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 24 of the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today once again for what you've done in this place. I thank you for the word of God that's went forth in Sunday school classes, in children's churches, from the pulpit here. Lord, thank you for what you've done, and thank you for the fruit you helped us to see. You gave the increase. We had the privilege of being just a part of it, and I thank you for it. And now, Lord, it's a new service, new powers needed. We need your wisdom and your power from you. I ask you, God, to help this preacher tonight. You know the needs of my life, and Lord, I ask you for them, and glorify yourself tonight, Lord. Help this preacher always be reminded that it's you deserve the glory and the praise for all things. Let us never, any of us, ever forget that. Let us always lift you up and honor you. And Father, so once again, give us power to preach, and Lord, also power to hear and to respond in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I told you this morning I was going to preach a message entitled The Most Dangerous Man in Town. And I told you also about 9 years ago I preached this message. Some of these that's sitting here today wasn't even born. Some of them was in diapers. Amen. I was looking for my granddaughter. Hannah, are you around here? Where are you at, Hannah? You was in the second grade when I preached this message, and she's a junior now in high school. Amen. And we figured out that Greg Burcham graduated the year 1995 when I preached this. And so Jerry insinuated that possibly maybe that's why I preached it. We don't know. But anyway, it's been a while since I preached this message. I felt like God wanted me to preach it tonight, and so that's what we're going to do tonight. Who is the most dangerous man in town? You know, the Bible tells us here in verse number 28 that we're not to fear them that just kill the body. You know, I've read sometimes from the about the martyrs. I'm talking about modern day martyrs. I was reading the other day about a young man down in Sudan who gave his life to Christ, got saved, gave his life to the Lord, and because of that, the Muslims came in and took him and beat him unmercifully, and finally tried to get him to recant his faith, and he would not do this. This, of course, went over a long period of time as far as him telling people about his faith. He would not go back on it, and they finally stabbed him with a knife quite a few times, cut him with a machete, and finally took the tongue that he would not cease to praise God for and cut it out. And then he died there and bled to death for his faith. Now, what we must understand, that is going on in the world today. That's one little story that I've told you, but it's going on across the world today for people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are suffering death of the body. That's what Jesus was talking about here. You don't have to fear him who is going to kill the body. Now, I'm saying to you folks, that would be a horrible, hard, difficult thing to face, but that's not who we fear. The body, the killing of the body is only the killing of this old body that's going to die anyway. But it's the soul that is really important. You see, we want to be sure that our soul is ready to meet the Lord. And let me say to you, they can kill your body, but they cannot kill your soul. That's what God is saying unto us. So I want to look at some things here tonight. First of all, and I want to tell you some people who are not the most dangerous men in town. One of them is the alcoholic. I think, and I've read, that there is anywhere from 25 to 30,000 people die in accidents due to alcoholism in a year's time. Alcoholism is a terrible, horrible thing. If you'd been in chapel last Wednesday night, Brother Pat Bolton preached a wonderful message concerning alcohol. In fact, he was an alcoholic for many years, and his daddy handed him a beer. What did he say, 12 years old, or some of you remember? He was 8 years old. 8 years old, his daddy handed him a beer and said, "Start drinking, son, and be a man." His dad couldn't help it. His dad was an alcoholic. He was lost. And so he began to drink at 8 years of age. I'm not going to spend time going back over all of that, but alcoholism is a horrible thing. He told our school here that his teeth was knocked out. His front teeth are not his, because in a barroom fight, they took a glass ashtray and broke his teeth out. He'd been shot 3 times. You see, alcohol's fun. But let me say to you, folks, alcoholism is a horrible, horrible thing, and it's terrible. It does terrible things to people and causes great harm to other people because of alcohol. I think you understand that. But let me say to you, the alcoholic or the drunkard is not the most dangerous person in town. Let me say to you also, and although I hate this sin, I despise this sin, and the reason I hate this sin is because God hates this sin, the sin of sodomy. I despise the sin of sodomy. Sodomy is a horrible, horrible sin. It's a wicked thing. And all across this nation, we're seeing the result of judgment of God coming upon this nation because of He's allowing all of this to mature in this country. This sodomites running everywhere. They're everywhere, my friend, and it's showing that it's the end time. We're coming to the end time when you see this, because God judged Sodom and Gomorrah because of that filthy sin. But let me say to you, the sodomite is not the most dangerous man in town. All of these are dangerous, but they're not the most dangerous man in town. Let me say to you that all of those, because of some of the sin that they've been in, and sodomy is certainly part of it, they have this terrible disease, which is called AIDS, that is killing people all over the world. Here in America, there's multitudes and multitudes of people dying of AIDS. Many multitudes are HIV positive. And it's a horrible, terrible thing. I can't even imagine it. And many of them, they pass it on to other people. And those who do, let me just say to you, even though it's horrible, it's terrible, but they're not the most dangerous man in town. Let me say to you, we have in America multitudes of murders, people who just without any hesitation kill other people, take another person's life. I've always wondered about that. And I know I've not been in certain situations, but I can't imagine the thought of putting a gun to another person's head. I'm talking about, and when I'm talking about the fact that of on purpose, just to kill somebody on purpose. I don't understand that. I might tell you a story. Well, I'll wait and I'll tell you it a little while later here. But anyway, murder is a horrible thing. I mean, a terrible, terrible thing murder is. But the murderer is not the most dangerous person in town. He can kill the body, but he can't kill the soul. These child abusers, I cannot imagine child abusers. That's hard for me to understand. I think, understand it because we went so far away from God. We've just walked away from God, and so there's no guilt because of this. But to imagine to harm a little child is just beyond anything I can comprehend. I just can't imagine that. I'm afraid that, you know, I go the other way. We was talking this morning about those, and I don't know what it is, you know, with me, and we always think, you know, those sweet little girls that got baptized. Those other boys that got baptized this morning, we'd hold them under 2 or 3 minutes. And we know what they're going to become. Amen. We know what boys are. But them sweet little girls that got baptized this morning, wasn't they sweet? Wasn't that sweet? They got baptized, come to know the Lord, and got baptized. But I can't imagine taking and hurting one of those little children on purpose. and abusing one of these little children on purpose. Let me say, a child abuser is a horrible, horrible thing and a very dangerous person, but they're not the most dangerous person in town. Let me say to you, if a person could pick up one of these AK-47 rifles and go around, just open it up until it's absolutely empty, and killing people would be a horrible thing. Columbine, out in a school, they took guns and they shot young people. Horrible thing. Despicable thing. And there's some people who just go nuts and crazy. Over in Ohio, this man was shooting from different places and trying to shoot into cars, killed one individual. You see, and before that, those two men that went around killing people, just shooting out of the back of the car and killing people. I'm saying to you, those things are horrible. I mean, despicable things. But they're not the most dangerous man in town. I might also tell you about the terrorists that would get in an airplane and fly into the Trade Center. What a horrible, horrible tragedy that was. I can't imagine that. And then another man get in an airplane and fly into the other Trade Center. And we know the result of all of that. Somewhere around 3,000 people died during that time. What a horrible tragedy that was in America. I mean, terrorists today are blowing themselves up and blowing people up across this world in different places. In Spain, there was trains. I think it was 10 bombs set off that one day in Spain and killed a multitude of people that day. Now, I can't imagine it's going on. Probably if we hear the news — I didn't hear the news, but if we hear the news, there may have been some more bombs went off today. Terrorists just exploding bombs and killing themselves and killing people. It's horrible. I mean, it's horrible. But can I say to you that the terrorist is not the most dangerous man in town? He kills the body, but not the soul. Let me say to you, an atheist is certainly a dangerous man because he spreads his filthy teachings about there being no God. You know, it's always interesting to me. An agnostic is one who says, I don't know if there's a God. I just wish sometime they would understand, and I certainly don't know all about language, but I know enough about it that in Latin, the word agnostic is ignoramus. And I've always wondered why they don't go around and saying, I'm an ignoramus. It's just as easy as saying agnostic. It means the same thing because it means I don't know. Those kind of people with their false doctrine are certainly dangerous. And certainly they are. But let me say to you, they're not the most dangerous man in town. You know, we can look around and we could see abortion. And let me say to you, abortion — you know what I feel about abortion. Abortion is a horrible thing. For 42 million children has been slain by this thing that they made legal called abortion. Now, I want to tell you something. I can't imagine that, a killing of 42 million babies since it begun. I can't imagine that. It's beyond my comprehension to do that. And I just can't. But I will say this. They killed the body, but they didn't kill the soul. No, it's horrible. It's terrible. But the abortionist is not the most dangerous man in town. Well, you say, Brother Ross, if they are not, who is? What I want to tell you tonight, and if you don't remember this message, I want to tell you something because it will surprise you. Let me tell you who the most dangerous man in town is. And that's the preacher. That's the preacher who will not preach truth from the Bible. You say, Brother Ross, why is he the most dangerous person in town? Well, he can, you know what? He can also bring death to the soul. It's not just the body that dies. When a man don't die in Christ, he dies in his sin. His soul will be in eternal hell forever and ever and ever. Let me say to you that a preacher who will not preach salvation by grace through faith, and faith alone, is the most dangerous person in town. Let me say to you, the false doctrines that are being taught across this nation today, we take them sometimes as just — and I think I told my Sunday school class this morning. People will say, well, you know, there's people out here believe you can lose your salvation, as though that's okay. Let me tell you something. That's one of the most blasphemous teachings that ever have been upon the face of this earth. A person who would teach the fact that Jesus Christ could lose one of his own is a blasphemous teaching. It's a horrible teaching. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And we are kept by Him. To say you can lose your salvation is to say Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not able to keep you. That's a blasphemous teaching. And we look at some of these people around, and some of our ministerial associations have some of these people in there with them that teach these things. And we don't say a word about it. I'm not a member of a ministerial association or assassination or whatever it is. I'm not a member of that. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying I'm not going to be hooked up with people who believe you can lose your salvation and teach that you can lose that and blaspheme God in the process. I want to tell you, there's a lot of folk not saved out there today because they're just up and down and they don't know whether they're saved or they're not saved. They don't know where their trust is. Their trust is either in Christ or in their works. And you know where it is. You know where it has to be saved. It cannot be in their works. But when you say you can lose your salvation, the only way you can lose your salvation is by works. You've done something wrong. So surely God's going to be displeased with you. I didn't get saved by doing anything right. I got saved by faith in God, by the grace of God. That's how I got saved. And the only way I could get saved would be God would unsave me. And it would be Him that would have to do that. And that's an impossibility. No man can pluck me out of the hand of God. I'm His forever and ever and ever. So, you know, we take these things so lightly. We say, well, the so-and-so's down the road. They believe you can lose. Well, that's a blasphemous thing. That's a horrible thing to believe that. Take it for what it is. It's against the Bible, the Word of God. And also, let me say to you, any person who teaches that baptism is a part of your salvation is a blasphemous teaching. We've got to understand, because there's a lot of folk out there think they got salvation because they've been dipped in a tub. You don't get salvation by getting dipped in the water. Water's a wonderful thing. I mean, baptism, wonderful. We baptized 4 this morning, but not to get them saved, but because they are saved. You understand that? You see, these things, these teachings, we're just accepting them. We're saying it's okay if that's what they want to teach. It's okay. No, it isn't okay. It's against the Bible. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous for those who are not putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's dangerous. And we need to realize that a person like that is a very dangerous man who would preach those doctrines and preach them things that are untrue according to the Word of God. We need to realize that's the dangerous person, because let me say to you, it matters concerning the eternal soul. The eternal well-being of the soul of man. It may kill his body, but you can't kill his soul. But wrong doctrine will kill his soul. I say to you, the most dangerous man in town is a preacher who will not preach. Joe Null told me when he first started coming back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and he doesn't mind if I tell this story because he told me I could. Some of you have heard it, but he told me I could. He said I could use it. Over in Vietnam, he was over there, and they was on Brother Ron Allen, you'll know it's a free fire. In other words, you see something move, you shoot. And he was involved in some of that. Come to find out, there was some children killed during the fight. Joe didn't know for sure that he just knew he fired. He was ordered to do. He went to see a chaplain after that, and he was just getting to him. He couldn't hardly take it. And he went to see a chaplain, and chaplain, after listening to him, said, "Mister, if you can't help yourself, there ain't nobody else can help you." Now, I'm not downing all the chaplains in the services. You understand that. I'm talking about this chaplain told him that. He went away from there with that guilt on his heart. And he carried that clerk from Vietnam, clerk to Jacksonville, Indiana. And he lived with it for many years, to the point where he told me of a night sometimes with fitted sheets on his bed that was just tight. You know, ladies know how them are. I mean, they fit there tight. Of a night, he would get a nightmare about that, and he would just reach over and grab the sheet and literally just rip the sheet. Just rip it from nightmares about that. And so one day at a service here, after he'd come back here for a little while, he stood right back at that door, and he said, "Pastor, I've got to talk to you sometime." And I said, "No better time than now. Let's go." I left back there at the door. We walked down here, went into my office, and he told me this story. And I said to him, "Joe, I've got something wonderful to tell you. That man told you if you couldn't help yourself, nobody could. I've got somebody can help you." Yes. He's a wonderful Savior. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you so much. And we told him the wonderful story of Christ and how he could be saved. And hardly before I got done, he came out of that chair he was sitting in down to his knees and began to ask God and beg God to forgive him and cleanse him and give him everlasting life. Now what I'm saying to you is that preacher, that one chaplain is the most dangerous man in town. What do you mean if you can't help yourself? None of us can help ourselves. We need Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So wrong preaching, wrong teaching is very, very dangerous. Here's a man went for many years carrying that guilt and burden on his heart that he did not have to carry. But it was all because of some so-called preacher that told him contrary to the Word of God. I believe also if a preacher preaches that repentance is not necessary to turn to God and to be forgiven, I believe he's a false preacher.
Amen.
Now, I want you to listen to me. Repentance is built into salvation. You know, the Bible says that they turn to God from idols. Let's look at it. I'm walking this way, not following God. I'm not believing in God. I'm following the idols of this old world. Now, when I get saved, I want to tell you something. I got to turn my back on the idols and believe in God. I know, I understand it's not the outward acts of repentance that you got to quit this, you got to quit that. That gets into works. But I want to tell you something. There's a repentance when a person truly gets saved, truly born again. I want to tell you, you're headed in a new direction. You may be stumbling, you may be doing this, and you may have to get up, and you may do all of those things. But I want to tell you right now, there's a new direction in your life when you get truly saved. I understand because I'm well aware of it. I've run into these people. I've ministered to them. I know a man who was out of God's house for probably close to 10 years. But every time I went to see him, I want to tell you the difference. I've told this story many times. But I want to tell you the difference in that man and other people who would say to me, well, I don't have to be in church to be saved. I don't do. What he would do is he'd just hang his head and say, oh, Pastor, I know I'm not doing right. I know I'm not doing right. I need to be back in church. I need to quit this foolishness I'm doing. No, there was a repentance. There was a sorrow for sin. He didn't get lost because he was out there doing things he should not do. I understand that. I'm just saying, though, in the heart, there's a repentance. I want to tell you, you're going to be different if you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Anybody that says that you're not going to be different is contrary to the Word of God, because you turn away from these things and you turn to God. It's a belief inside. Yes, it is. I know that. I understand that. But it's a repentance. You no longer look at sin as something wonderful and great as you did before you got saved. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm saying to you, we need to get back and preaching that. I just believe with all of my heart there's been too much of this. Bow your head, say a little prayer, and hey, you're God's child. Without dealing with people, dealing with them concerning their sin. Realizing they're old sinners, lost. And they need Christ to forgive them. Amen? And folks, every person who gets saved realizes, has come to that place where they realize they're an old sinner. They're lost. And they turn to God and ask for forgiveness and believe on Him and are saved. I'm saying to you, there's a lot of preachers. It's dangerous because they just preach this. And I don't like to use easy believism. I don't like to use that word because you know what? Believing is easy. It is easy. God made it easy for us to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But we got to be very careful with this foolishness that's going across this nation. We got to be very, very careful and understand we're responsible. We better get it right. Amen. Not only that, I want you to turn over with me to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, let's just go to the 4th chapter. We could read other scriptures, but I just want to share with you 4th chapter. The Bible says in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, here's what he said. I charge thee. Paul writing to Timothy said this. I charge thee. Let me say to you, that word is a very strong word. It means I command you. It's not a word that he's saying to Timothy, I suggest that you do this, Timothy. No, Timothy, I charge you. This is what you're supposed to do. He says, I charge you therefore, who before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Timothy, let's just stand here, and here's Jesus Christ, here's God, and he's standing here as witnesses, and I want you to know I'm charging you to do what I'm about to tell you to do. You better realize, Timothy, when you preach the word of God, it's serious business. And God is witness. Jesus Christ is witness. And he said he's the one who's going to judge one of these days, Timothy, the quick and the dead, you see. And he said at his appearing in his kingdom. So listen, Timothy, you better listen well. I'm charging you to do this. And then he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I want to say to you, the responsibility of the preacher absolutely is to preach the word of God and to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort the people that he has under him. That's my job to do that. And at the same time I'm reproving you and rebuking you and exhorting you, I am doing also to myself. I've told you many times, you don't understand it if you're not a preacher, but I want you to know something. In the study of a preacher, multitudes of things take place. Because that word of God that you're about ready to preach begins to hit home to you before you ever step out here behind a pulpit and give it and deliver it to the people whom you are preaching to. So I'm just simply saying to you folks, a dangerous man is a preacher who will not reprove, rebuke, and exhort his people. Tickles their ear all the time. And that's what he says here in verse 3. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers after itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You know what's the funny thing about this? God didn't say if they don't listen, just forget it. He says you preach it. It's up to them whether they listen or not. We're living in a time of itching ears. We're living in a time when people want things that'll just please their ears. We're living in a time when people will not listen to the word of God. They will not listen to what's being said. They will not listen to the warnings that God gives them through preaching of the word of God. But God doesn't say, well, if they don't listen, just forgive them. Just quit. No, no, no. You keep preaching. In all seriousness, if no one in this congregation would listen and pay attention to what I'm preaching, I'm to preach it anyway. Because we're to preach the word in season and out of season. That's what God has given us to do. And a preacher who will not do that is one of the most dangerous men in town. You need to be reproved. You need to be rebuked. You need to be exhorted. You need to be loved. Yes, you do. You need to be loved and encouraged. You need all of those things. But I want to tell you, folks, you need all of them, not just part of them. You understand what this preacher is talking about? You understand that? You see, a preacher who will not do that is absolutely going contrary to the word of God. Absolutely going and doing exactly what God says not to do. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm saying to you folks, that's a dangerous man. Most dangerous man in town is one of those who will not preach against sin and call out sin and name sin. That's a dangerous man that wants to tickle the ears of his congregation and will never call out sin and make sin real to the congregation. I've been known for years and years. I call out all kinds of sin, but it's not just abortion. It's not just the sodomites that I call about. I talk about the gossips. They're one of the most worst sinful people that's on the face of this earth today, and they do more damage than anybody else than the abortionists ever thought about doing. Old gossips that'll just gossip and just carry on and cause strife and division in the house of God. Let me tell you something. I'm to preach against that, and I will preach against that. I've done it now for 35 years or going on 35 years, and I'm going to continue to do that till God takes me home. Amen. You say, well, I don't like it. It doesn't matter. I'm not doing it to hurt you. I'm really not. I'm not doing it to hurt you. It's my responsibility to do that. See, and if you don't have a problem with that, I mean, you're saying amen. If you have a problem with it, you're hiding your face. Preacher's supposed to preach it. You know, you don't control the preacher. You don't tell the preacher what to preach. God does. You see, and a man who will not preach against sin is a dangerous man. A man who will not reprove his people, a man who will not preach against about hell, is a dangerous man. You know as well as I do. We talk about that a lot, but you know as well as I do. Hell is real. It's a burning hot fire, and preachers need to preach about it. They need to warn people about it. They need to open their mouths and cry aloud. Hell is real. And let me say to you also, separation is just as real in the Bible as hell is and heaven is and sin is. And we're to preach separation from this old world. Isn't that true? But a preacher who will not do that is a dangerous, dangerous man. Because he will not teach his people about the truth of separation. Back in 1995, when I preached this message, I remember Don and I went to a Sword of the Lord conference out in Walkertown, and the theme of the week, when they had a banner up there, said, "Hold the banner high." I remember that so well, and it certainly pricked my heart and said, you know what, I can never let the banner down. It was just an encouragement to me, just to keep on keeping on. Tommy Walton, once in a while, he'll just look at me and say, just keep on keeping on, Pastor. Just keep on keeping on. That's an encouragement to me. Yes, it is. It's an encouragement. Just keep on keeping on, Pastor. Just keep on preaching. He told me the other day, keep giving me them messages. I need them. That's what he told me. He said, I need them. Just keep preaching at me. Wasn't that what we're supposed to do? Sure. Sure. You see, back in 1995, when we went to that conference, one of the main themes of that conference, of course, was hold the banner high. But I remember most of the preaching that year was about how that churches was dropping their standards. Right. And I know it includes the dress standard, but it wasn't just the dress standard. It was standards across the board. They was just dropping standards all over America. And let me say to you, churches today are dropping standards. I remember them talking about the consumer church. You're probably more familiar with that now, because back then the consumer churches was just beginning. They're the churches that go out and take these polls and all that stuff and try to go into a community and find out what the people want in the church. So they go out and they make a church that whatever the people want. I aren't you sure that the Apostle Paul did that? But that's what they did. And now you see these churches, these mega churches all across this country doing the very same thing. They think they can get people in, but they're not preaching anything. I read you here a while back a little thing about one of the biggest one in the country, down in Texas. And what he said was, the statement of the pastor was this: sin is not on the menu. It's exactly what he said. I read it. It was quoted. Sin is not on the menu. Well, it's in this menu. Amen. And we need to realize that that's a dangerous, dangerous person who will not stand in the pulpit and cry aloud and spare not and lift up our voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and show the house of Jacob their sin. The preacher is supposed to stand and holler about sin, you know, and everybody goes, don't you love your people? Yes, you know what? The greatest way I can love you is preach to you about your sin. Now, let me tell you something. I do love you, and I do preach messages that show my love for you and God's love for you. I preached a message in Sunday school this morning. I called it The Protected Life. And I want to tell you, you can't get any more love than that when you get down to what God has done for us and how he's protected us. He's got his hedge around us and protected us not only for now, but eternity. What an encouragement. But at the same time, I say to you, the preacher is supposed to get up and cry aloud and show his people their transgressions and their sin. Today, if I name a sin, I did a while ago of gossip, you know, the person who's not doing that has no problem with that. Really? But the person who's doing that really has a problem that the preacher is meddling instead of preaching. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying to you folks, we need preachers that absolutely will preach against sin and reveal it and call it out. Not only that, one of the most dangerous preachers in the world is a preacher who fears the people more than he fears God. It's a shame. Churches all over this country, there's preachers in these churches all over this country is worried to death where their next paycheck's coming in. Oh, is it a concern? Sure, it's a concern. There's churches that love to keep them that way. Yeah. We'll keep him poor and we'll keep him humble. Oh, certainly. There's churches like that. But I'm saying, if a preacher yields to that, what a foolish man he is. It's God that takes care of his men, not the congregation. He uses the congregation to do that. And God will bless you for doing that. But my friend, it's my God that takes care of this preacher. Amen. Just like it's your God that takes care of you and provides you a job. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. And you see, we get to fearing people. We get to fearing the congregation. Churches all over the country that fear the congregation. Shame on them. Why should we fear man? All they can do is kill the body. They can't kill the soul. Why are we fearful? Why is men of God fearful of the congregation? And there's people out there, let me say to you, in this, many of these churches across the country, in these little churches across the country, that keep a preacher scared to death. If you don't do right, then I'm going to take care of you. I'm the one that provides the money around here, and we'll just cut it off. And have you ever seen that, Brother Ross? Oh, I've seen that over and over and over again. Old preachers, old men of men who's supposed to be people of God and just withdrew their tithes and let the preacher starve to death so he'll have to move. Baloney. The preacher is acting very foolishly when he fears men. We're not afraid of men. God takes care of us. Say, Brother Ross, what if you had to sell your place? Well, I've done that once. That place that God gave us out there, I want to tell you right now, it's his. It isn't mine. He can do anything with it he wants to do with it. I'm serious about that. I'm not making fun. I enjoy it. I love it. But you know what? God took it away from us tomorrow. We'd go on. We just go on. You just go on and do what you do. What you have to do. Amen. It's our God we serve. You see, that's what over in Acts, the 5th chapter, Peter and others, the apostles, said, well, we ought to obey God rather than men. I think that's a good principle. Amen. Now, let me say on the other side of that, thank God that there's a lot of wonderful God's people that don't feel that way. They don't want you fearing them. They just want you to fear God and preach to them. And thank God for those kind of people that just love God and knows that the preacher's been brought there to preach to them the wonderful riches of Christ, preach to them the word of God and help them, because that's the way God has set it up. And they're glad for it and rejoice in it. They're not sad about that. They rejoice in it. They say amen when the preacher preaches, helps him as he preaches. And the rougher it gets, the more they holler and say amen, amen. You know what? That's all right. I'm just saying to you, there's a lot of God's people out there, wonderful, wonderful people, God's people, who's lived for God for years and years and years and loves God. But let me say to you, you watch it, because there's always those by the wayside waiting to try to destroy and try to hurt, try to cause divisions and strife in the house of God. It's everywhere. You just got to keep your eyes open. Now, just a couple more points and we'll get out of here. Not only the preacher, but let me say to you, one of the most dangerous people in town is a Christian who loves the world more than he loves God. Tell you, I could take you back to 1 John 2nd chapter. We could read all those. You're familiar with them. If you have the, you know, if you love the world, you love not the Father. Love of the Father is not in you. I'm just saying to you, God has commands us not to love the world, not to fall in love with this world. That's a command of God. Anybody out here, you can dispute that if you want to, but you can't find it in the Bible. God says that we're not to love the world. We're not to get entangled with the things of the world. We're not to do that. But a Christian who gets completely entangled with the world and the things of the world is a very dangerous person, because he's showing forth that the love of this world is more important than the love of God. And he sets not a good testimony. He or she sets not a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ when they do that. And they're sending people to hell by their testimony. Loving this old world more than they love God Almighty. Putting this world first before they put God. That's a dangerous thing. I want to take you to portion of scripture over in 2 Chronicles, please. 2 Chronicles. I want to show you something. Another person, another Christian who's dangerous, I mean seriously dangerous, is a person who claims that they're a Christian and refuses to go to the house of God. Now, I want to read to you something. I want you to listen very closely. We won't take a lot of time, but I want you to listen to me. In the 28th chapter of 2 Chronicles, I don't think I told you the chapter, but 28th chapter of 2 Chronicles. 27th chapter. Verse number 1. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerushan, the daughter of Zadok, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Did you hear that? He did those things which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But listen what it says. Albeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He fought also with the kings of the Ammonites, and prevailed against them, and the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him, both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now, we're talking about a man here who God says he prepared his way. He established his way before the Lord. Said he did that which was right in the eyes of God. Now, I want to just quickly, because I want to turn back in a moment, but right there in chapter 28, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years. This was Jotham's son. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, and the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. You see, what followed Jotham was his son Ahaz. Did you notice what Ahaz did? One of the most wicked men in the Bible. Now, what I'm saying to you is Jotham established one principle that was absolutely contrary to the word of God. He entered not into the temple. It's interesting, God talks all about this, but he says, how be it? Yeah. He entered not into the temple of the Lord. And because of that, you'll notice in verse 2 of chapter 27, and the people did yet corruptly. Now, I want to just turn back. You don't have to turn back there, but over to 2 Kings, it gives this same account in the 15th chapter of 2 Kings, 34th and 35th verse. Let me read it. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places, this is talking about Jotham, were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. What I'm saying to you is this. Jotham the king set the example, and he did not, even though he prepared his own heart toward the Lord, he set the example for all the people, and they did corruptly. See, the dangerous thing about this is, they still burnt incense in the high places. They done sacrifices up in the high places. They did all these things. The people did. Here Jotham had prepared his own heart, but what a terrible testimony it was that he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Now, I'm saying to you today, and you know, we hear it. I hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. People make light of the fact that you don't have to be in God's house. Don't have to be here every service. You know, baloney. That's a bunch of baloney. You want to set an example for your children? You want to set an example for the community around you? You want to set a community or example for those who you work with? And you want to be able to say, I love God, and you never enter into the temple of the Lord? I know I'm talking to Sunday night crowd, but I'm saying to you, there's multitudes around who doesn't care a hoot about the things of God. They won't come to the house of God, yet they want to, quote, I'm all right with God. Well, you know, there might be a possibility that they may be right with God as far as their salvation is concerned, but they're sending people to hell. I believe that with all of my heart. They're sending people to hell. Because they will not do right themselves. People do corruptly because they look upon their lives and they see their lives and they don't believe their lives. So what do? They don't do anything either. They don't believe in it. Yeah, I know. I've seen them, Pastor Ross. I've seen people, so-and-so over there. He claims to be a Christian, but he never goes to church. Heard that all my life. Only thing I can say is shame, Jotham. We're to be in the house of God. I want to tell you, that's a dangerous person who will claim Christianity and never enter into the house of God. And you know what this preacher believes. You know that entering into the house of God does not save you. You know I believe that. I understand it. But you sure put an influence on other people because of your unfaithfulness. It's an interesting thing to me that whenever people want to do something, they can do it. I hear it all the time. Well, I just can't do this, and I can't be here, and I can't be there. But boy, when something comes up they want to be at, they're there. Isn't that interesting? Couldn't they just go the extra mile for the house of God, for the work of God, for people around them? Couldn't they just do that? Amen. Now, I want to tell you, the most dangerous man in town is the old preacher who will not preach the wonderful word of God. And Christian who will not act like a Christian and live like a Christian. They're dangerous people. You know why? Because it affects the soul of man, the eternal soul of man. Doesn't just kill the body. It affects their eternal being forever and ever and ever. Serious business. Just bow our heads.